Need you to do something, need you to look at someone around you. Just take your eyeballs, look at their eyeballs, just go for it. And then say to them, I promise, when we disagree, I'm going to believe the best about you. And then under your breath, you can mutter, even if I'm right. Don't do that. Okay, just find one other person and say, look them right in the eyeballs, your eyeballs, their eyeballs, and say, I promise, when we disagree, I'm going to believe the best about you. Okay, every one of you, look at my eyeballs. And you say it to me, say, I promise, when we disagree, I'm going to believe the best about you. Thank you. You know, first of all, happy Family Day weekend. It's odd how we can recall in great detail what someone else did, but become really fuzzy with our contribution to an issue. You know, we can remember down to the detail what someone else did, but get really fuzzy with our contribution to the issue. In exile, the tribe of Judah. We've been going through the book of Jeremiah. We finished it last week. But they recall in detail, great detail, all the provisions that they enjoyed under God. But when it comes to why they're in exile, they get really fuzzy. So they remember all the provisions that they had, but they don't remember what led them to where they are. It gets super fuzzy. Like all the ways that they've consistently rebelled become obviously fuzzy. And so in their life then, and in our lives today, how many of you know that there are ups and downs? Today, I want to talk to you about a problem that, if we're not careful, can do the opposite of what we just said to one another. That rather than believing the best about one another, we automatically assume the worst. And I want to talk to you about a problem that God has provided a solution, but we're going to have to embrace it in order to grow in this area. In life then, and in our lives today, there are ups and there are downs. There's just no way around it. You know, encouragement. Someone come along and say, like, boy, you look good today. And you can instantly be infused with life. It just infuses you with courage. And discouragement can quickly drain you of that very same thing. Depression is literally something presses us down, and hope is the exact opposite. It lifts us up by connecting us to our God that is always greater, who is always greater. But in the ups and downs, in the different seasons of life that we love and that sometimes we just tolerate, how many of you enjoyed that plus weather yesterday? Can I see your hands, please? Not today. Don't worry about today. I'm talking about yesterday. It was beautiful. It's beautiful. We enjoy different seasons. Every single one of us have relationships that have different stages within them, different parenting. We did baby dedications today. How many of you know parenting is a breeze? And the older they get, the easier it gets. It's amazing. It's amazing. In fact, the hardest thing is giving birth. After that, smooth sailing. In life, there are different stages. And our recall through all of this stuff can become like Judah's. And we can, in detail, understand or remember something, but get really, really fuzzy with God. And how many know that God is unchanging because you cannot improve upon perfection? Yet me and you and I, we change often. And sometimes it's so encouraging because you and I are changing to become more like Jesus. And that is such an encouragement. That is such a blessing. And that not only blesses you, but it blesses the world in which you live. The discouragement is sometimes that we fall short. Our flesh wins. We don't yield to the Spirit. We yield to the flesh, and it wins. And so, inspired by that same Holy Spirit, the Apostle Paul, I think, penned one of the most relatable sentences that we're going to use to introduce us not only to our next book of the Bible, but a way to pray. Everyone just whisper to pray. Okay, so here's the problem. I'm not talking about you now. I'm talking about like North American Christians with data. Not you, but you can definitely pray for them. But it's estimated that the vast majority of followers of Jesus don't pray at all. Oh, we post a lot, but we don't pray. And this is a problem. But God's given us a solution. And the solution is part of it is the title of the book that we're in. Here's what the Apostle Paul says before we get to that book. For I do not do the good that I want to do. How many of you want to do something, but you just can't get around to it? Can I see your hands, please? Okay. Let that one thing be raising your hand in church when a question is asked, okay? Get around to it, would you? For I do not do the good that I want to do, but I practice the evil. But I practice the evil that I do not want to do. It's really easy to do the things that we don't want to do. It's harder to do the things that we want to do. And we live in a world where we can get instantaneous feedback if we say something, if we post something. But if we just go to prayer, sometimes it's slower. It's, as I said last week, we really want microwave transformation, and yet God is a crockpot God. Like, he's just slow simmer. He can do things miraculously and instantaneously. I'm not discounting that at all. But the way he chefs is mostly crockpot. Let's just say that. Here's Paul, here the Apostle Paul saying these things. And so a specific way that we pray through life's ups and downs is learning to lament. Everyone say to lament. It's learning to lament. In Hebrew, it is the word ekah. I can't pronounce it the way those who can speak Hebrew has a at the end of it. I can't do that, but ekah. It's the sound of how. Every lament begins with the word how. So knowing better, yet still doing what I don't want to do, you can hear the Apostle Paul have this lament of prayer of like, how? How am I still doing this? Or how am I not doing that? It's this cry within their hearts. Or has anyone here had an amazing moment in life? Can I see your hands, please? Just a moment. And you thought to yourself, how can life get any better? Like, how can it get any better? How? And so for decades, Jeremiah, whom some scholars think wrote the book of Lamentations, has prophesied what would happen to Jerusalem and to Judah. And on behalf of the Lord, he has spent years warning them about what they are now living in. And when consequences meet current reality, our memory can get really, really fuzzy. It's just a human characteristic. When consequences meet current reality, not in the process leading up to them, but when they meet, our memory can get really, really fuzzy. Here's what Tara Lee Cobble says about this book, Lamentations, that we're digging into. All along, God has told them to remember. And when they finally do, they don't remember him. So they remember things, but they're really fuzzy on God. They forget the things that they used to have and the peace they used to experience. They forget what God did in the past and they forget what he promised for their future. And then she goes on to say this, anytime we choose sin, we fail to consider the future. I think that's really insightful. Sin occurs when we live too much in the present and we forget that there's an eternal kingdom. She ends with this phrase, sin is short-sighted. I think that is absolutely true and insightful. And so to lament or lamentations, it gives us a way to pray in the how seasons of life. And all those of you who are dedicating these young children to the Lord, you're going to have how seasons. You're going to walk in and your child has done something and you're just going to look and the only word you're going to have is how. How did you do this? Right? How did you get your diaper off and how did you get the contents of the diaper from there to there? How did this happen? Every parent's lived that one. How? This week, as we open up the news and we see the events that unfolded in Tumbler Ridge, we lament. We lament by crying, God, how have we as a culture got here? How? This can be very, very individual, and it can be really, really big. And so to lament is to affirm God's greatness, especially in the face of loss, through prayer. Oftentimes, the last place we want to go when we experience grief or hardship or these how moments is to prayer, but it's the place we need to run first. And let me tell you that even your personal prayer discipline, I want you to know that it's warfare. It may not feel like it, and it may feel ordinary, and it may feel routine, but it isn't at all. And the idea of lament is warfare. It's a refusal to let the hardships of life separate you from our forever good God. It's what it is. In prayer, lament, it gives voice to difficulty while reorienting our heart in God. As with any kind of prayer, the power is not only in what we do. So we're going to talk about how to lament in a minute, but I don't want you to fixate on that, because here's the most important thing about prayer. It's not what you're doing, it's who you're talking to, and it's who you're speaking with. And so you can get all the what wrong, but as long as you are speaking to God, he hears and he answers prayer. He's good. In fact, the enemy will actually want us to get caught in all the what's. So it becomes like another performance. Let the what's just kind of wash over you today, but remember, it's the how. It's who, I'm sorry, it's the who. Who am I connected to that is most valid? A key in lament is allowing the Holy Spirit to reveal our actions, not just the consequences or the outcomes. I'm going to say that again. A key in lament is you and I allowing the Holy Spirit to reveal our actions, not just the outcomes. You and I often want to be outcome-driven people in prayer, while the Holy Spirit is showing us actions, something a little bit different. And so the book of Lamentations, if you want to read the whole book this week, it's only 5 chapters. So you could read it today, go into work on Tuesday, unless you have to work tomorrow. But you can go into work and say, what did you do this weekend? I read a book. I read a whole book from beginning to end. It's called the book of Lamentation. It's 5 chapters, but it's a book. It's 5 chapters, and each chapter stands on its own, and here's what it does. It's 5 chapters, all poetry, so you're going to get a little in the midst of it. Unless you love poetry, you're going to get a little, you may get a little lost. It's okay, don't worry about it, but just remember these 5 words, or write these 5 words down. Chapter 1 is about outward. They just begin to look at the world where current reality meets consequence. They just begin to look outward. They begin to look at the world as it is, not as they want it to be. They begin to look outward. That's the first chapter of Lamentations. The second chapter, though, is they go inward. How are they feeling based upon the circumstance? So for Judah, who is in exile, what does that feel like? What are the experiences like? The third chapter, they don't stay inward. Then they begin to look upward. Who is God in the midst of this? They take the chapter 4 and they kind of like overall, they pull it together. And then chapter 5 is they just look forward. What is the future vision that we want? And so it's 5 chapters, but it's just 5 perspectives on something that they're going through. And so again, with this outward perspective in chapter 1 is due to their unrepentant rebellion, that's their action. Jerusalem's enemies have destroyed the city. That's the outcome. God is speaking about the action, they're focused on the outcome, okay? This is where God is at work. In reading chapter 1, you're gonna say, it sounds like they're blaming God until you arrive at verses 18 to 20 of Lamentations chapter 1. Here's what it says. The Lord is just, for I have rebelled against his command. Listen, all you people, look at my pain. My young women and my young men have gone into captivity. Lord, see how I'm in distress. This is the cry of their heart. They're in exile. They are not at home. They've been overrun. The city of their homeland has been ultimately destroyed, which was the linchpin of every part of their identity. The enemy has robbed, killed, and destroyed. And here they are pouring out, Lord, see, I'm in distress. I'm churning within. My heart is broken, for I've been rebellious. Outside, the sword takes the children, and inside, there is death. Turn to the person beside you and say, what a word of encouragement. It is this honest place that they are bringing up before the Lord. By the time that you and I will arrive in Lamentations 2 this week, you're going to see the identical heart, but with a richer insight. And I pray that you hear this because, okay, let me ask a very basic question that I hope I get 100% affirmation and participation. How many of you were born into a family? Can I see your hands, please?
Nope.
The moment that happened, how many of you know there's no such thing as a perfect one? And some of your families are families. Sometimes in family, there can be unhealth. And I would describe it this way. That sometimes in family life, there was somebody who was in a mood and everybody knew to walk on eggshells around them. Anybody here can identify what I'm talking about? Some of you are like, nope, blessed. So sometimes it's their unpredictability that we didn't quite know what to do, what to say, how to engage. Okay. So when it comes to prayer, God is our Heavenly Father, yes? So some of us take our understanding of unhealthy family and we bring it this way. And here's what I want you to know. God is never unpredictable. He is never unhealthy. You never have to worry or wonder or walk on eggshells with God. Ever. Whatever the unhealth in humanity is not found in our perfect Heavenly Father. The Bible says He is gracious and He is compassionate and He is slow to anger and He abounds in steadfast love. He is holy and He is just and He does what He says. You and I want to grow in integrity, which means the gap between who we say we are and what we do gets closer and closer and closer the more you and I become like Jesus. But in God, there is no gap between who He says and what He does. He is perfect integrity. And so when it comes to prayer, just like we're reading in Lamentations 1, your heart can be a mess and you can come and begin to pour it out to God. You don't have to walk on eggshells with your Heavenly Father. I want you to see it. Because honoring the Lord also looks like being honest with the Lord. Honoring the Lord also looks like being honest with the Lord. You don't need to try to fake God out because He always knows what is most true about you. In fact, He wants you to align with that so that He can work in your heart to conform you to be more like Jesus, to transform us to look more like Jesus. Expressing ourselves honestly is what sometimes it looks like to move towards trusting God again. I am never worried about people who are expressing their hearts honestly to the Lord. I'm concerned about people who express things that they want to say but inwardly don't believe them. That's entirely different. So I want to say it again. When it comes to prayer, you never have to walk on eggshells around God. You can pour your heart out to Him. He is perfect in all of His ways. I think this is so vital. As I was going through these books of Lamentations, or the book of Lamentation with these five chapters this week, is I saw something, and I think culturally it's important just to note it. Lamentation, or to lament in prayer, please hear me with both ears and your whole heart. It's not confusing, but you got to track with me. Lament is expressing truthfully what we are experiencing, but our truthful expressions are not always true about who God is. So in other words, Lamentations chapter 2, when they begin to go inward, they begin to express truthful things that they are experiencing from their perspective, but they are not true about who God is. And here is a societal comment and a pastoral concern. It is very concerning with a society when we make truth relative to my truth, your truth, that is only found by looking in, then you and I can come to believe things about God that are not true about about who God is, even if they're true about where we are in the current moment. So Lamentations is this place where it says in Lamentations chapter 2, if you read it this week, you're going to hear them begin to say things like this, like we're under a cloud, and it's not a cloud of his glory. They're saying like we're just under this heaviness. They cry out to God and they say, we've been swallowed up in chapter 2, verse 2. We've been swallowed up without mercy. But the Bible says that God is gracious and compassionate. He's slow to anger. He's abounding. He's a merciful God. They don't feel like he is, and they are pouring their heart out to them. He says in chapter 2, verse 3, God has cut down all of their might. How many of you know God hasn't cut down anything? It is their sin and their rebellion that has done so, but they're just pouring their heart out to the Lord. 2 verse 5, they say these words, the Lord has become like an enemy. It's true with what they feel. It isn't true about who God is. Loved ones, your feelings were created, your thoughts, they're created by God. They are good to have in your life. They are terrible leaders of your life. I don't care what anyone else says. They're terrible. Your thoughts and feelings are good. They're not Lord. God is. God is. But they're pouring their heart. And this is honesty. This is how they're working back to God. I'm just saying, in our prayer life, in 2026, in the church, you can't stop at inward because you'll be actually living in things that are true experiences but not true about who God is. You got to go deeper. In lamentation or lamenting prayer, we don't hold back our honesty as it's a vehicle that the Holy Spirit uses to lead us back to honoring who God is. In the New Testament, we're promised that the Holy Spirit is going to remind us. Everyone just whisper, remind us. You know why we need reminding? Because like I said at the beginning, we get fuzzy, we forget. We remember in great detail, certain things, but we get really fuzzy on other things. Here's what it says. Lamentations goes inward, but doesn't remain there. Anchored truth isn't found there. Lamentations 2, verse 19, it says, arise, cry out in the night, at the beginning of the night watches. Pour out your heart like water before the presence of the Lord. Lift your hands to him for the lives of your children who faint for hunger at the head of every street. As a Canadian, I feel that. My heart is heavy for future generations, not just the ones that are now. And I can turn that into a lot of ways that are unhealthy. Or I can turn it into outrage and get a lot of likes and a lot of clicks, but it does not bring the transformation that God desires. First, where I need to turn it is into this place of prayer. Some of you have the right indignation, the wrong destination. The Lord is beckoning you to a deeper place of prayer, not necessarily being public with it. He wants to do something through you. Now, here's a distinction. As I've already mentioned, that prayer is singularly powerful because of who we're spending time with. The same isn't true with complaining, venting, or expressing frustration. Now, here's what I found this week. I found a study that said that the average person complains 15 to 30 times a day. And some of you are like, I just found out I'm not average. I didn't say which way to take that. I said that to Lori and she said, you're above average. And I had a reason to complain. No, so here's what I'm saying. How many of you would say, in the past 7 days, I've complained, vented, or expressed frustration one time. Can I see your hands, please? Okay. Some of you are awesome or lying. How many of you would say that I'd like to complain, vent, or express frustration a little bit less? Anyone? Okay. So here's what I want you to know. If you can complain, you can lament. If you can complain, you can lament. You just have to do one thing. As you hear it come out, turn it into a prayer. Turn it into a prayer. Lord, I hate this traffic. But God, I thank you for my car. Lord, I hate this idiot who just cut me off. I wish they didn't. But you love them as much as you love me, so I'm going to pray for them. Not that you smite them or kill them or get them or... Lord, I'm just asking for a pimple in the middle of their forehead. That's all I'm asking. Don't do that. Lord, would you bless them today? So when you hear yourself complain this week, just turn it into a prayer. As Tim read in worship, as you're going through Lamentations 3, inward honesty eventually leads them to upward honor. Don't stop at honesty until you get to honoring God. If you're stuck in honesty, keep going. Here's what it says in Lamentations 3. Here's where they arrive when they're looking upward. God's not an enemy. He's not without mercy. It's not just a heavy cloud. This is where they get to, and it honors the Lord. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I will hope in him. The Lord is good to those who wait for him, the soul who seeks him. It is good that they shall wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. Do you hear the difference from Lamentations 2 to 3? In other words, they just keep pushing. The circumstances are heavy. The language matches reality, but it's this. They anchor in this hope-filled place. How many of you are parents, as parenting, because this is Dedication Sunday, you go through some really hard seasons. You keep leaning in. God, I'm not going to be overwhelmed by the current season. I am overwhelmed in it, but God, you are still at work even when I can't see it. And so, Father, my hope is not in the outcome. I hope in you, who can do things that I can't do. I don't know why you're going slow, but I trust that it's in your goodness. God, I thank you that you don't violate the will, that you wait for surrender. God, I thank you that you're kind in this way and you're not like the enemy that wants to possess that Holy Spirit. You're different. You infill. Pray. And so Isaiah is a book about a coming hope. A Messiah will come. And Jeremiah is a book about a defined hope. God's going to have the final word. But Lamentations is a book about an anchored hope in a really hard season. God isn't finished. Hope in him. So in spite of the ups and downs in life, Lamentations 3 verses 25 to 27 says, the Lord is good to those who wait for him, to the soul who seeks him. It is good that one should wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. It is good for a man that he bear the yoke in his youth. One last Lamentation, 5 verse 21. I love this prayer. Would you restore us to yourself, O God, or Lord, that we might be restored? Renew our days of old. Lamentations, they get to a place where the final of our story is not going to be exile. It's going to be restoration. They're looking to a future now and saying, this is current reality. I don't like it. I feel all sorts of ways about you, God. But what I feel doesn't define who you are. What I think about you doesn't define who you are. When I wonder how, whether it's individual or societal, when I wonder how, and my heart is overwhelmed, I remember who is always greater. And I place my future in the one who holds all things, not in these things. And the way we do this is called prayer. It's to lament. And so this week, I want you to take a shot at lamenting prayer. If you can complain, if you can vent, and if you're frustrated, you can pray. You can lament outward, inward, upward, and future. It's not that hard. Outward, this is awful. Inward, I don't like it. Upward, God, would you meet me here? I trust you here. You're still good. You're still God. And when it comes to my future, when it comes to the future of this world, it is not going to be darkness. Light is going to win. Hope in God. But you have to get there through prayer. Amen?